Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Episode 24 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously, but we love rugby. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hi, Tim.
That's Phil.
Hi, Tim.
JB smiling through gritted teeth. You don't want to do this podcast at all, do you?
Don't know what you're talking about, Tim.
Our resident Welshman.
Oh, well, my team won all weekend. I don't know what we're talking about. Exeter through to the LV Cup final.
Hey!
Yes!
More on the massive story of the LV Cup and how that's unfolded. I mean, that's where we're going to start and end tonight. That's the big story,
exactly.
Isn't it? There's a small matter of a few Six Nations matches. Your boys didn't exactly unleash the dragon.
I've unleashed the dragon. I know you don't really want to unleash the dragon. I've unleashed the dragon.
No, they didn't, Tim. No, they didn't. Well, they did. England were very good.
Obviously, we're going to talk about the big weekend of Six Nations rugby, and there was a lot of storylines. England-Wales was a big match. Brian O'Driscoll as well is worthy of some talk, and then the build-up to this weekend's matches. Let's start with the fact that you were there. You were there to witness your boys lose
awesome, yeah.
On Sunday, and you managed to get this for us. So we're starting off with a real treat.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Davis, and this is the Egg Chasers podcast.
Right, firstly, can you... How long have you been doing this? Proper broadcast quality equipment, please, next time, JP.
Exactly,
how bad was the quality of that? Were you holding him hostage in a
He literally
sack?
Couldn't get away quick enough.
Look, I am Jonathan Davis, and this is the Egg Chasers podcast.
Now,
and
can what... I... No, will you go away?
And the thing you didn't see there is where he was looking at me, kind of the look which went... Is that okay? Is that right? Okay, can I go now? Egg Chasers podcast? Yes. Egg Chasers. So that was his second attempt.
Well, so how did you come by meeting him then?
We had a bit of a corporate box at Twickenham. There's no easy way to say this. I went to the box in Twickenham. And our box happened to be next door to the BBC box. So we were quite lucky because we had Clive Woodward knocking about outside and Jonathan Davis. Jerry Guscott kept on walking into our box. He thought it was his right of way.
I feel like we need something a bit more, some more sort of refined music for you, JB. Or there you go. Is that a bit better? Has that set the scene of your corporate box a little bit more?
Yeah.
Go on, so tell us about it.
He just used our box as a bit of a public right of way. It would hop over the thing, go the little barrier, go down, come back up. Yeah, it was all right, I guess.
Who else did you see?
Ryan Giggs.
Oh, my word.
Ferdinand and Carrick were there. They all came to watch the game for whatever reason that would be.
There was a picture on Twitter of Ferdinand and Carrick with Dylan Hartley and someone else, I think.
Yeah.
One of the many pictures that Dylan Hartley... Owen Farrell it was.
Yeah, yep. I'm guessing Ryan Giggs wasn't too keen for pictures.
that's JB. That's how JB...
Oh, Kenny Logan. Kenny Logan.
Kenny
was in
Logan.
It was in the stadium.
Did you mention to him that we mentioned him on the podcast last week?
No, I didn't.
That he made our boring 15.
No, I didn't mention that.
Where did you watch the game, Phil?
I was sat in my lounge on a wooden chair. Because... We'd got rid of our old sofas on Saturday, and me and my housemate Steve tried to pick up two new sofas in our cars. He drives a small Audi.
The most stupid decision I've ever heard of, by the way.
What were you thinking you were going to do? Strap it to the roof?
He drives a Mini.
I drive a Mini. And for some reason, we had it in our heads that we'd be able to... mainly I had it in my head that we'd be able to get these two armchairs in our cars, which we then couldn't and had to pay a delivery guy to bring them around this morning.
Yes. Dearie me.
So, yeah, hard wooden furniture, but it did not spoil the match for me.
No, it was a brilliant game, wasn't it? And we'll get to a lot of talk about the Six Nations very soon, but thank you very much for getting in touch, and you can always contact us on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter is where you can get in touch. And, well, there's lots of people that have been doing just that since last week, starting with Tom Hyams, who we mentioned the boring 15 last week, said Borthwick in the second row, surely.
Wonderful shout.
And he would be captain.
Yeah, I can't believe we missed him.
I can't believe we missed Borthwick.
Well, I can because he's
15.
So boring. I mean, that's exactly why we did miss him.
He's so forgettable.
Yeah, it's actually a doff of the cap for boringness to Borthwick.
Being overlooked is a badge of boring honour.
Exactly.
Jonathan Webb at 15. I don't know if you remember him. He was an English fullback. The most, like, pragmatic, boring, kicking fullback. Had no attacking ability whatsoever. But thank you for Nick for that suggestion on Twitter. Mm. It has been pointed out as well. I'm just going to give Ant Green a mention here. He sent us a little picture. Now, we've been running a Six Nations Fantasy League, and we invited you to come and join us and get involved. And one of the things on that, which Ant pointed out, there is like a league of leagues. There's the individual competition, but then there's a league competition, and the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast Fantasy League is top of the ESPN Fantasy League of leagues.
You're joking me.
No, so we are, as a league, we are the best of all leagues.
But is that because we've got a big league? I think it should be... the amount of points the members have scored divided by the amount of members.
We're top. Why are you trying to change the rules?
Yeah, exactly. It's fine.
So of all the leagues that have been done, all the private leagues, and there's various other rugby podcasts and publications and things that have done it as well, we are top.
Yeah, so it's
So it's based, I've just got onto it, so it's based on the total points scored by the top five teams in every private league. Yeah, so
that's good then.
The calibre of our top guys is better than any other league.
That's what I was going to say.
In the world.
How on earth?
In the world. So in other words, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast has the most informed rugby audience of anyone in the entire world.
That can't be because we're informing them.
In spite of us.
I think what must happen is you need a certain amount of rugby knowledge to enjoy this podcast anyway. So that's
to
why
endure
we get
all the rubbish that we throw at you. Yeah.
Because there's no way you could win anything listening to this.
Well, congratulations to our listeners then.
Congratulations to us collectively. Yeah. We can all take. We've got one more weekend, so get on the ESPN Fantasy. Make sure you do your tinker. Make sure you do your changes, and we could finish top of the league of leagues. Well done you. Well done us. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get straight into the Six Nations, shall we? There were three excellent matches for all different reasons. I watched the Scotland-Italy game, Scotland-France game. Good to see Kelly Brown back in the team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did he give away the last penalty, though?
Yeah,
he did.
Because I was listening to it on the radio on the way down to Leamington Spa.
You only go to proper middle-class places.
Listen to this.
Leamington Spa to the... corporate box at Twickers.
This weekend, I played rugby in Kendal, which is a lovely little northern town. Stayed over at Leamington Spa and then spent the day in Richmond. I couldn't be happier. where was that story going? Oh, yeah. So, I heard that he gave away the penalty, but I never actually saw it. So, was it
a good game?
Penalty?
And Scotland was saying afterwards it was the wrong result. I mean, the scoreboard never lies.
Yeah.
France deserved to win because they won, but Scotland did play well.
They played well, but... they should really be kicking themselves. They gave away some silly kickable penalties, and they were on top for long periods of the game, scored the two tries in the first half, but failed to go over the whitewash after that. And that intercept, the Uge intercept, when there was a three-man overlap and Weir throws a big telegraphed miss pass that Uge picks up and goes 80 yards.
Coaches should get rid of miss passes immediately.
It was a big overlap. All it needed was hands. It didn't need the big miss pass. No,
you never seen New Zealand miss passing when simple hands scores a try.
Yeah, it's a surefire way to blow a try.
Ireland, of course, it was the bod show. Brian O'Driscoll.
Right. Is he retiring?
He is this time.
Is he really?
Officially.
Why would you retire when you're that good?
Because now he's going to be. He's tied for the most number of international appearances. Against France in Paris, he's going to break the world record number of appearances
He should carry on until someone is better than him.
Well,
in
is it not a bit selfish to think that? To say in 18 months he still thinks that he'll be the best? Or is it better to say because, sorry, 18 months is the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Is it not better to let someone else come in and improve and develop, whereas he will be declining over that 18-month period?
I couldn't disagree with that any stronger. International rugby is about the here and now. You've got to pick your best players. And, you know, you're not the best when someone else is in your position. I think he could probably go on to the World Cup, the way he's playing.
He possibly could. I mean, when you actually look at the way that the number of appearances and has worked out, I wonder if he'd broken the world record already, whether he would have gone already.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I have Alan Wynne-Jones to break his record.
I can't believe he's only 28.
28, I know.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? So hang on. That standing ovation wasn't for Fergus McFadden coming off.
did you see the tweet?
Yeah, very good tweet actually, it was Fergus McFadden that tweeted
Fergus McFadden tweeted, "The standing ovation I got coming off the bench yesterday was amazing." when he came on after 61 minutes for O'Driscoll. Yeah.
Well done, Fergus.
Very good.
And thank you to John Fox as well on Twitter. It's at Rugby Podcast, as I mentioned earlier. He said, Brian O'Driscoll's 140 caps that he's made have included only one where he came off the bench.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's an amazing stat.
Oh, my God, that's incredible.
We're releasing a knowledge bomb for that stat. It's been a while since we dropped a knowledge bomb.
Yeah.
Well,
there we go.
That was well deserved.
Knowledge.
That is a great stat.
Fantastic,
I love that.
Isn't it? And what a legend. And he's rightly going to be regarded as one of the best ever.
Yeah.
And then there's only one game left to discuss in the Six Nations for the weekend just gone. Oh, yes.
I have to admit, I bet.
Stuart Lancaster's men came of age. The comparison between Cardiff last year, Twickenham this year, shows the evolution of the Lancaster era, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I think after watching the game yesterday, it's exactly the game I expected, but we've won Crystal Difference, which is England scored some tries. And I thought 12 trees was probably key to all of that.
That kick through for the Burrell try, because from the angle on TV, you couldn't see that Burrell was there. So I was screaming, "What are you doing?" Like, I thought he'd blown it. Mike Brown, who you could see on TV, like threw his hands up in the air. It was like, "What on earth?" And then it pans across and Burrell dives in the corner.
I thought he blew it, but no, it was a fantastic kick.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not an expert, but I don't think it's a coincidence that as 12 she's become more important, Farrell, this Six Nations, has played a lot better. In fact, it's probably his best stretch of international games now.
He's looking the part.
I'd agree with all that.
Not only that, do you know yesterday not one kick was missed?
Good stat as well.
I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think what we've seen...
Can you turn that music off now, please?
Yeah, sorry. I've used the word evolution. I think what you've actually seen is a year down the line, suddenly you've got Billy Vunipola. Well, I mean, he's not involved. He has been looking like a real quality international player. You've got all these young guys. Joe Marler now has got 20, 30 caps under his belt. It's a totally different England team 1 year on with 10, 15, 20 caps under the belt. And these such good young players.
I think this is, well, it is part of Lancaster's plan to develop these young players over the past 2 years with 2015, with the World Cup, firmly in his mind. Whereas I don't quite see the same for Wales. I think they've got some very good areas.
No excuses for Wales, though, because
they've got some areas of weakness as well.
From what I can work out, Ian Evans is injured and Charteris is injured, but who cares? I mean, there was no... When we've lost to England before, over the last, say, 7 years or whatever it may be, you can always go back and say, well, you know, we didn't have a full team. Well, we had everyone. We had everyone and we just weren't good enough. It's worrying.
What I thought we'd do is pick a 15 of players between England and Wales, because my theory for doing this is, so I don't want to lead you and say what you should say, my theory is England's performance is even better because not many of their players would get into a combined 15.
Are we doing this based on the 15s that started this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so just like head-to-head each position. Because you'd probably go Gethin Jones, Richard Hibbard, Adam Jones as your front row, would you?
Well, do you know what? I criticise referees a lot, but the refereeing of the scrimmage on the weekend I thought was spot on.
Yeah.
When that yellow card came for Gethin, I watched it live, I couldn't see it properly. Watch it on the screen.
You didn't have a screen in your corporate box?
I did have a screen. It was 5 seconds delayed.
You can just poke your head round to Jonathan. Was that a yellow card, Jonathan, do you reckon? Yeah.
Oh, it was absolutely a yellow card. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
But basically, I'd say, again, try and not just get too carried away with the result. On balance, overall, you'd
consider their performances over the past 2 years.
Yeah,
you'd pick the Welsh front row.
Second row, you go Alan Wynne-Jones.
Yeah, and then one of Laws or Launchbury. You could pick either one.
So England would have someone in the second row. Back row, again, you'd probably, wouldn't you just go the Welsh back row?
Yeah.
I think if Billy Vunipola was playing, I'd have him over Faletau. I would.
Crikey. Really?
Because I think he's more dynamic, yeah. His offensive work is better than anyone else those two squads.
But I think this is absolutely crucial because you mentioned the eight position there, and I could possibly go with that if Vunipola was available. But 9-10 is where England would win over Wales. Completely, yeah. Wouldn't they?
Well, yeah. I think a lot of criticism comes the way of Rhys Priestland. It's unfair because Rhys Priestland plays the system. I know it's a cliche now, but he just does. You know, he does exactly as he's told to do, and that's why he's good.
No, but if Farrell was Welsh, he'd be in the Welsh starting 15, wouldn't he?
Probably, I don't know, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
He would be.
Do you know what? I think better than both of them is probably Dan Biggar when it's all said and done.
No, I've not seen enough of Dan Biggar with that.
But Danny Kerr over the Welsh from half options.
Yeah,
well. And also, we've got James Hawke. Why don't we use James Hawke?
You're starting to get. This is painful now. You go Jamie Roberts, surely Jonathan Davies over the English centres.
Last 2 years, yeah, I would do.
And the wingers, Cuthbert and North, over Noel and May, and fullback, Lee Halfpenny. Mike Brown would be pushing him very, very close.
Mike Brown's last form over the last 6 months, I would say.
World beating. He looks not just the best in the Six Nations. On this form, he's probably one of the best in the world.
I'd say so, yeah. Going back to your point, Tim, is it how important 9-10 are, or is it purely down to the tactics? Because Wales were, every time they got the ball, they were putting the bombs up.
Yep.
And they were having Priestland sitting deep, collecting the kicks through from England and just putting the bomb up. And so you're using their two best attacking weapons, Cuthbert and North, basically as kick chasers.
Mm.
And there was only twice where they brought those two into the gain line in midfield, and they both looked really dangerous, but they didn't do it a single other time.
I thought Cuthbert had a better game than North. I mean, yeah, they chased and they ran.
The kicks were often too deep, and
Priestland had two out on the full as well.
Yeah, so my point is it the tactics that they employed yesterday?
Yeah. Are we actually saying Lancaster's done a job on Gatland?
If you sent them out there to actually play with the players that they've got and play good rugby, well, yeah, it would have been a better looking result. I'm not saying that we would have won, but it would have been better than what we had.
Quite enjoying the pain.
The miserable pain
you're going through.
Tell you what, I'm going to go back to Twickenham to watch a non-Wales game because I love the Twickenham experience.
Oh, really?
Absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
What did you like? Apart from the corporate hospitality, the screen to go and check the replays.
Corporate was good.
The free booze.
Free booze
was great.
Having Jonathan Davies and Clive Woodward next door.
We went to have a drink on Richmond Green. That was awesome.
Did you go to the car park when the teams were going through?
I didn't actually, know.
Because I really like that. I really like what Lancaster's trying to do with that.
Well, I can't believe it. Sorry, tailgating is a big American thing. And it's, you know, usually baseball games. And I've been saying that we should do it in the UK for years. I had no idea that they actually did it in rugby.
Yeah, Twickenham. I remember as a kid, I was at Newbury Rugby Club. And so it's sort of, you know, an hour and a bit to Twickenham. And every single Pilkington Cup final, we'd have a big coach load of us going from Newbury Rugby Club. We'd get there early doors, have the barbecue up, food,
kid
running around playing touch rugby out in the car park. It was brilliant.
Well, we're
love
going
it.
To Twickenham, aren't we? The Egg Chasers tailgate.
Egg Chasers tailgate. We could do our podcast.
Egg Chasers tailgate podcast.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
I like that.
Done.
Oh, on. It's on. Right, speaking of England Wales, let's just stay on that, but we'll have a little game of rugby social. And what I've done is I've got an England international themed rugby social now.
Ooh.
So rugby social, it's something that happens in rugby clubs up and down the land, and it involves lots of drinking games and such. This one just involves looking at the social media of professional rugby players and, basically just having a little nose into what they've been up to. So the first one is from England replacement prop Henry Thomas and replacement back Alex Goode. What did they do together during the build-up to the Wales-England game? Did they have a couples massage? Did they have a FIFA marathon? Or did they play old-school billiards?
They're rugby players. Professional rugby players do nothing but play Halo and FIFA. I'm going with FIFA.
Yeah, they've all got their EA Black cards, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, have they?
Yeah.
What are they?
Where you get
That's a good
all the EA games. But like a week before they come out, so they're all tweeting about getting FIFA before everyone else.
They're always on the blag, professional rugby players, aren't they? They're always blagging.
They love it, don't they?
Thanks for my trainers. Look at this picture of my lovely new trainers. They're lovely. Look at this protein shake I just got sent. what are you going for, Phil?
I'm going to go for the billiards.
Old school billiards. Well, they are in an old hotel, aren't they?
Yeah.
But you're wrong. No, it is FIFA.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Henry Thomas and Alex Goode had a FIFA marathon.
Probably with a couple of protein shakes. Just inviting the boys around some protein shakes and FIFA.
Yeah. Too right. Right, next question then. And this one is from Luther Burrell. Burrell? Burrell? What do you say?
Burrell.
Burrell. I like it when he plays with Tompkins because it sounds like a 60s cop duo.
Tompkins and Burrell. Right, so what did Luther Burrell watch before bed in the build-up to the England-Wales game? Was it Top Gear? Was it Game of Thrones? Or was it Babe Station?
It's going to be...
To relieve a bit of tension, maybe?
I'll tell you a story about Babe Station. My friend Kenny...
Is this story about Babe Station? Hold on a minute. Carry on.
Thanks. He used to invite us over for like a little Christmassy dinner type thing. Just all the boys. And he's got a dining room and he's got glass doors. And then he's got his living room. And it's his parents' house. And he had his grandma over for... That's right. His grandma over for Christmas. So she's fidgeting around with the remote control, as all people do, the wrong remote control, trying to put on Inspector Morse or some such thing. I picked up the real control... And over a few beers, me and my mates just started getting on Babe Station. So every time she would turn it over, we would go up a channel and down a channel and put it back onto Gay Chat. She was so confused.
Oh, dearie me, that's good.
Anyway, so he was watching Game of Thrones, I'm going to go with.
Have you ever been run? Never mind. He was Game of Thrones you're going for, JB.
Yep.
Phil?
Oh, I'm going to say Top Gear then. Catching up with the previous week's episode.
Exactly right, Phil.
What?
Yeah. It's 1-1. It was Top Gear. Luther Burrell.
Such a safe option.
He's probably already watched all of the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I've just got into that. I've just started watching season one. You've been telling me for years.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really good. There's a lot of boobs.
Lots.
Yes. I like it. Right, next one. And he made his England debut, George Ford, now. What film did George Ford watch in the build-up to England-Wales? Was it Hunger Games, Catching Fire?
I hope not.
Was it The Goonies? Was it Scarface?
Scarface.
I'm going to go, he's only young, isn't he? Hunger Games.
Well, it's 1-1 at the minute. I can tell you that the winner, with the correct answer, one of you has got the correct answer.
Oh, no.
It wasn't The Goonies. The winner of Rugby Social this week is Phil.
Oh!
He watched Hunger Games Catching Fire.
I actually really tried then. Usually I try any of I tried them.
Say hello to my little friend.
The exciting life of an England rugby player. Hunger Games, Top Gear and FIFA is pretty much the life of an England rugby player.
Yeah.
And tweeting pictures of your new trainers you got sent by Adidas.
And tweeting pictures of the, freshly won...
Triple Crown.
Yeah, well done.
Dylan Hartley selfie.
That's a great selfie, that was.
15,000, that's got 15,000 shares now.
Yeah, wow. It's a great picture.
It's good. We'll get back to the build-up to the Six Nations for this weekend in a little bit. But, of course, the whole podcast today has just been building up to this one incredible moment, this date with destiny. And I'm sorry that you've had to wait so long for the incredible... LV Cup!
Yes!
Come on! Yes! I want to see my third-string team in front of a third full stadium... In a third-rate competition.
Sorry.
Actually, to be fair, I do like the LV Cup for the bringing through the... I'm jesting.
Yeah.
Bringing through the young guns.
Tell you who won't be jesting. Exeter, because this actually matters now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Big time. And who they got? Sarries, is it?
No, Northampton.
No, Northampton.
Oh, Northampton beat Saracens 26-7.
And even Northampton pointed out their second string. Their second string is awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
Saracens isn't too shabby either.
Yeah. Fair. Well, this is twice this season that Northampton's second string has beaten Saracen's second string.
Now, I know in university rugby, there are leagues where the second 15 are in, like, the same league as the first 15, like Loughborough and Hartbury and teams like that, where they're so dominant and so good at rugby that their second team are really good. I reckon Saracen's and Northampton's second team would avoid relegation in the Premiership.
Not a bad shout, actually. I actually think the Saracens' second team might be a little bit overrated. Everyone says, oh, they're really strong, but actually, both times they've gone up against Northampton, they've got a right kicking.
But, Tim, I think Broughton Park's second team could probably do a job against Worcester.
Yeah. That'd be close. Yeah. Yeah, and they're getting better, Worcester, as well. Oh, did they do anything on the weekend?
No, game.
Right, so at least they didn't lose. That's let's be pretty positive around
progress.
Right, I reckon we should pick a 15.
Oh, go on then.
Yes.
And I'm quite looking forward to this one. So,
you said amazing name 15.
Amazing name 15. There are some rugby players, there are some people that have been involved and are involved in rugby who have just fantastic names, be it that they're just a bit unusual or they're so damn manly or they're just really appropriate for the sport. So we're going to try and pick a 15 of amazing names and we'll take it shirt by shirt. And of course, if you think we've missed one or have a suggestion, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I threw this out earlier. We've already got some suggestions in, actually. So we'll try and weave those in as we go through it. But let's start in the front row then.
I remember Waratahs, I'm sure they had two players. I think one was called Blades and the other one was called Cannon.
Brendan Cannon.
Brendan Cannon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That is a good name.
And who's the other? Someone Blades.
Yeah, Brendan Cannon's a good name. Oh, no. Yeah, Cameron Blades.
Cameron Blades, there you go.
Yeah.
Cameron Blades, that's a great name.
Yeah,
I just thought of that now.
Although he will have worn full studs. Sorry. Jesus, that was... Oh my God.
We were in Kendall this weekend and our loose head was warming up with Maldies.
In Kendall
on a clay-based pitch.
Wow, ambitious.
Kids nowadays.
I really like the name Samson Lee of Wales. Samson was... Greek god, given superhuman strength.
Is he the one that had his hair cut off and then he lost his
powers? Yeah. Which is, perhaps Samson Lee should cut off his ginger hair.
Samson Lee and Brendan Cannon and Blades.
Hooker, there's quite a few.
We're
all thinking the same guy, yeah?
Right, should we say it on three? One, two, three.
Chili
Bismarck.
Boy.
Yeah. Oh, Chili Boy. Chili Boy. Oh my god, yeah.
I was going to say Chili.
Chili Boy Ralapelli.
Bismarck
is a great name. But
I wish I was called Bismarck.
Because it's an amazing ship. An amazing name.
It's a very good ship.
Nazi warship.
And a very good one at that.
How did that name come about?
I think it's quite a popular...
Right, we've got Luftwaffe Duplessis, or what do you prefer, Bismarck?
It just doesn't look like a Messerschmitt.
Zeppelin?
What's Bismarck? Yes. If I put together a rugby player, it would probably look like Bismarck Duplessis. And then if I was going to name it, I'd probably name it Bismarck 5000 or something like that. It's a name of a rugby player.
Does that mean Bismarck doesn't even make the 15 because Chili Boy Ralapelli, what a name.
Chili Boy Ralapelli is a hell of a name. Isn't it a good name?
It's an unbelievable name.
Chili Boy. How? Brute of a player, brute of a warship, says Christopher Walton on the subject of Bismarck Duplessis. We're going to be upsetting people by not selecting him.
Hmm.
An honourable spot on the bench.
Yeah.
So who's our front row, sorry? Cannon.
Brendan Cannon. Samson Lee.
What? Cameron Blades doesn't make it. Cameron Blades.
We might have to increase this to a Dream 23.
Yeah. I've got a lot of names later on.
All right, well, we'll go for that for now. We can always change our mind a bit later on, but let's just stick with that for now. So, we move into the row.
I like Courtney Laws.
Courtney Laws, yeah.
I'm just laying down the law.
Yeah.
Is it just that it's a bit childish of me, but Danny Grewcock?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful name.
I've got a back row who could play in the second row.
Go on.
Samu Manoa.
That's an okay name.
That's an awesome name.
That's a great name.
It's just changing two letters round from a country.
It's like calling your son Brait Gritton.
Brait Gritton. That's a good name.
Brait Gritton. So Samu Manoa and...
Courtney Laws.
Courtney Laws in the row. Back row then. Have we all thought Marmuka Gorgodza?
Yeah.
It just sounds like a mythical godlike creature.
Yeah.
How about, hang on, is it Victor Vitor?
Victor Vito.
Vito. Yeah. I love that name.
That's a pretty cool name, actually.
Yeah, I've got a few back rows.
Go on.
Kabamba Flaws.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him? He had one cap.
Yeah, against England at Twickenham. I like Magnus Lund as well.
That is a good name. That sounds like it should be like a villain in the X-Men.
Or like a strong man, like world's strongest man competitor, yes. Magnus Lund. Magnus Lund on the Atlas Stones.
So we've got Marmuka Gorgodza, Magnus Lund, and one other in the back row.
I really like Remy Martin. Remy Martin. Oh. I know we've had him before.
Oh, Champagne.
Patrick Tobacco.
Patrick Tobacco is another one. Yeah. They're both good.
Oh, Tobacco is good. And so and PC. It's got to be Tobacco.
Tobacco, okay.
So, Tobacco, Gorgodza, and...
Oh, Kabamba Floors.
How about Remy Martin?
Kabamba Floors. Remy Martin.
I love Kabamba Floors. It's the most ridiculous name I've ever heard.
Kabamba Floors is going in.
Yeah.
I've got to have Marmuka Gorgodza because it sounds like it sounds like something out of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Nine?
Well, come on. Piri Wee Poo. Wee Poo.
No, but he's not.
I know it's a bit childish.
Yeah, but he's not named after a car. Austin Healey.
So is this almost like amazing / stupid name 15?
It's like, go back to Phil's analogy, it's like naming a player Renault McGann.
Yeah.
But your surname would have to be McGann to start with. His name was always Healy, and they proactively...
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. It's like people like...
Like Escort, like if George's first name was Escort Ford.
Yeah, exactly.
I know it's the other way around, but you know what I mean.
Well, hang on. It's like people that name their sons Thomas or... David Davis. You know what your surname is. Why did you do it? Neville.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
You suggested Neville for our nine.
Neville, yes. I'm Neville.
I had Warren Fury as a nine.
Oh, that's a good name for nine.
Rupert Moon?
I like Warren Fury. That sounds like...
Dangerous.
You'd go into battle
sounds
on
sounds like a character from Tekken.
Yeah.
It does. Warren Fury's our nine. To get it back on like the names that are amazing names for rugby, like players that sound like incredible rugby players rather than...
Oh, not just funny names.
Not just funny names.
We've got some funny names in there, but yeah. If we can have someone who sounds aggressive and fearsome.
Fly half. Butch James.
Oh, yeah. Obviously Butch James.
There's a few suggestions in the centre. Is there a greater human being, let alone centre in rugby, Sterling Mortlock?
The evil wizard.
And you could have another Australian centre, Clyde Rathbone.
Oh, that sounds good. The Italian international Marcello Bosch.
Yeah.
For a
crash ball centre.
Argentinian.
Argentinian, sorry, beg your pardon.
How about 12 Trees? Come on. That's such an exceptional name.
Billy 36.
And also, he plays 12. I mean, just perfect.
We're definitely having Sterling Mortlock, captain.
Yeah, Sterling Mortlock and Clyde Rathbone.
Billy 12 Trees. Billy
Marcello Bosch.
Oh, yeah, Bosch is good, actually, for a rugby player.
It's like...
Yeah, let's have that.
Especially in the centre, because you always talk about Bosch it up with
him. He is a hard-hitting defender.
We didn't even mention Sonny Bill. Now, there is one player from rugby league. I don't think he ever played rugby union, but if he had, he would have been the captain. Carmichael Hunt.
Yeah.
Mike for short. Mike Hunt.
Mike Hunt.
Parents didn't think that one through.
They didn't.
But anyway, he can't be. Sinotti, I liked as a name.
So good they named him twice.
Yeah, exactly.
How about two wingers both called Israel?
Israel Folau. Israel Dag.
Israel Dag.
The name of the countries.
Cooper Vuna's good. Rudy Wolf.
Oh, yeah. Rudy Wolf's in.
It's dangerous.
Rudy Wolf's in.
I've mentioned him on a podcast before. He's one of my favourite named rugby players. David Moonlight, Canadian winger from the early 2000s. I somehow snuck into the cocktail 15.
Was there Morgan Stanley? Is that his name? No, Winston Stanley. That was his name.
Winston Stanley.
No, Morgan Stanley's a credit card.
We got Rudy Wolf and who?
There's a England winger from the early 90s.
Adedeo Adebayo played for Bath in England.
Orion Rougerie, because apparently one of his names means golden or something.
Aurelion
Rougerie. Yeah. Hmm.
With flowing locks, I thought it'd be quite cool.
He actually looks like he should be a knight in a... Sorry to keep bringing up Game of Thrones, but he looks like he should be a knight
in
Game of
Thrones. It does do that to you. It really does.
Yeah, he'd be a Lannister. Definitely.
Oh, he would be, without a doubt.
I think you'd be a Lannister, Tim.
Yeah.
You're a bit Lannister-esque. Have you...
me and Dinklage would be...
Have you got into Game of Thrones so much now that you've drawn your own family, like, crest? Because it will
Sigil.
Happen. Yeah, Sigil, that's the one.
So we've got Tim as a Lannister. G, you're definitely a Baratheon.
Oh, without a doubt.
I'll be a Stark.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound northerner.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
You could be a Stark.
There we go.
A good show. I'm happy with that.
JB's got the money of a Lannister. It's corporate hospitality.
I wish I did.
So come on then, Phil. You can finish this off. Come on, finish off the wingers. We've got Rudy Wolf.
Rudy Wolf, definitely. And Sonotti.
Done. Fullback.
I quite like Mike Pike of Canada from the 2000s.
We can have a Wildlife 15 with Mike Pike. Mike and might do on a future one.
Have we ever done a food 15?
Salter, Hobbs, Ovens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. Cheeseman.
Max Pepper.
Yeah. But that's another
Arthur
point.
Lemon.
Arthur Lemon, the obscure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Call his Arthur Lemon.
He got
Feel free to use Tug Wilson, though. Tug Wilson, look home. Arthur Lemon.
Tug Wilson was British and Irish Lions captain.
He was dead like 30 years ago.
You'll have to listen back to previous podcasts of that. But also worth pointing out, if you have a suggestion for a dream team, and love to hear your thoughts on what we should pick a 15 for, because it's always good to get a good idea for a topic. So at Rugby Podcast on Twitter for that. At Rugby Podcast with any other suggestions for this 15, which we just need to decide on a fullback for.
Mark Mapletoft. It's a great name.
It's a good name. I think he got in our food 15 as well.
He did. Could we possibly put Wendell Saylor there? And it's not a motion today.
Yeah. Wendell Saylor. I like it, yeah.
Wendell. I didn't realise this. Wendell Saylor only retired like 2 years ago.
Serious? Well, did he play in rugby league?
Yeah, did he go back to rugby league?
I did actually, in doing some research for this 15, and I thought you might like these. I've got some other individuals, not from rugby, who have incredible macho sounding names.
You've got the American footballer ones?
No.
I've got some for you.
I have got, well, obviously, Lance Armstrong is a pretty cool name, isn't it? Right, these are a couple of people from the military. Commander Flex Plexico.
No, it's not. not true.
What?
Not true. Can't
Why
be
not?
True. Flex Plexico.
Yeah. Look it up. Look it up.
Flex Plexico.
Commander as well.
Sorry. Yeah. Flex Plexico. It sounds like a bodybuilder.
Flex Plexico.
God, sorry.
Yeah. Nine manliest names in the world.
Yeah, that's where
Commander
I found it.
Flex Plexico.
Flex Plexico. Commander.
Lieutenant Commander Flex Plexico, wow. There's a shoulder surgeon who I've seen a few times with my injuries called Professor Leonard Funk.
Oh, yeah, love it.
Professor Funk.
You're on really good terms with him, though, aren't you? He's his best client.
I pretty much am, yeah.
There was a governor of Malta was called Manly Power. Sir Manly Power.
With a name like Flex Plexico, you don't really need to be that good at your job.
Probably not, no. You probably coast through life. It's like the actor Rip Torn. You just coast through life. I've got one more. Sorry, before we move on, I've got one more incredible name. The World Anti-Doping Association Chairman.
I think I know. Is it Dick Pound?
Dick Pound.
Look at me with my world of knowledge.
Yes.
Yes.
Dick Pound. And one more. There's another American military personnel called Staff Sergeant Max Fightmaster.
No, that's not. That is not true.
Right. Did he get the job and then change his name by DePaul?
Must have.
Max Fightmaster.
Shall we change our surnames to Podcaster? Jonathan Podcaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tim Egg Chaser.
Now, in the American football, it's renowned for some good names. Everyone's heard of DeBrooker Shaw Ferguson.
Yeah.
Captain Mullerin.
Captain Mullerin.
Yeah.
Dad's Army's missing a character.
I'm going to change my name to Rugby Knowledge Bomb.
Nice.
Phil Knowledge Bomb. Well, thank you for the suggestions that have already come in on Twitter, and keep them coming at Rugby Podcast for the best names. I mean, you can tell us some names that you know about that you might have heard about from the American Navy or Army.
There's Bosch and there's Boozer as well. Boozer's a great
Boozer.
Name.
Oh, yeah, no.
Carlos Boozer, is it?
Is he Castleford or Wakefield rugby league fullback? Cocaine,
Brent. Oh yeah, Brent
Cocaine.
Yeah, you can't mention Castleford rugby league.
Oh yeah,
without Castleford.
Castleford, yeah.
Castleford. Say that to explain. Castlefield is a part of Manchester.
And also, if we did have a team of rugby league players picked exclusively from Castlefield, they'd be rubbish.
Get him off the field! That was diabolical. Get him off the field. That's just typical what he is. Get him walking. They don't like it. That was absolute diabolical.
Where's he get that word from?
It's going to be a yellow card. I can't speak. You call this gig. We all can't speak. Shove it up yours.
Now,
sorry, so we mentioned Castleford. I had to play that. Carry on. Yeah.
If BT Sport are listening this week, according to some of the forums for Castleford, not Castlefield, that man is still alive. I'm just saying.
Really?
I'm not saying. Now, you've already got the best rugby coverage on TV. Maybe, maybe we just want a little bit different.
Diversify, yeah.
Exactly.
Right, let's talk about Six Nations this weekend. How do you see it panning out?
Who knows?
JB's glossed over.
I'm happy to give you my prediction on the LV Cup, but I thought Six Nations finished this weekend, quite frankly.
Now, the Six Nations, I think the France-Ireland game is fascinating because...
France win this thing.
Well, France have played 15 minutes of good rugby all tournament when they scored... two tries early on and one try late on to beat England. Besides that, they have scraped and struggled against Italy and Scotland and been hammered by Wales. But they find themselves in third position, joint on points with both England and Ireland, who've played much better rugby throughout the whole tournament. And if they turn over
Ireland, they can
Ireland
win.
And England either only win narrowly or don't get a result, they could win the whole bloody thing.
I'll say it right now, okay? If France win, the whole Northern Hemisphere should pack up rugby. We just start bringing down the stadiums. We fold all rugby clubs up and down the country. This time next week, we will be doing a podcast on Formula One if France win.
No! I could not disagree more. Obviously, you're jesting anyway. But France got to a World Cup final by just squeezing out a result at the right time. And that's how you win World Cups. That's why I think this weekend is almost more important than last weekend, because this is actual, particularly for Ireland and France, this is one of those matches which will really be a rehearsal for a World Cup. Because
World Cup semi-final, this is equal pressure.
But they can't. France can't actually believe that they're good enough to get to a World Cup semi-final. As they are at the moment.
I think they will, though. I think if their crowd gets behind them, they could do it. They could genuinely do it.
I also wonder as well, the way that we perceive them. I mean, people forget that they're in the hunt for it. They think it's Ireland.
Yeah, that's true.
Or England. You just completely forget. And I wonder if that feeling runs through their camp against Scotland as a win. But when you win in that way, it doesn't feel like a win, does it? It doesn't feel satisfying. I wonder if they'll come down.
I know you weren't watching it, but you should have seen the players' reaction on that final whistle. They were like celebrating like they'd won a World Cup semi-final.
Really?
They were high-fiving, embracing.
Relief,
but it really meant a lot to those players.
Because isn't it odd that if they'd lost that, you would say, Saint-André, I'm not saying he's going to be fighting for his job because he's only just really been appointed.
It's hard to bring the axe down on Saint-André overall because I think what you've seen in England's development in the last year or so is the exact opposite of what France have been able to do because they have so few opportunities for emerging French talent to play in the top 14 because of the amount of foreign players there are.
That is a good point. It's something that Saint-André has publicly criticised, isn't it?
After he took Toulon to success by bringing in a whole army of foreigners.
Slightly hypocritical.
How do you see it panning out? Do you see Ireland doing the business in Paris?
England play first.
Yeah.
Italy versus England. So if England win and win by 10 or so points that I think a lot of people expect them to, then France will know that even if they beat Ireland, they'd have to win by about 30 points. So that might kind of work against France. Ireland have scored by far the most points, by far the most tries, and conceded by far the fewest points as well.
Is that right?
They're 110-4 compared to England, who are 86, and only 29 against compared to England, who are 54.
Wow.
So I think Ireland, probably on the balance of things, do deserve to win it, and it would be the perfect send-off, obviously, for O'Driscoll.
In that case, I hope they lose, because if they do lose, there might be a chance of O'Driscoll reconsidering retirement. But I don't think it's time yet.
No, I don't think he would.
I reckon, so something that I want to suggest we do on the Egg Chasers podcast, just tweeting us at Rugby Podcast and just get going in general in the build-up over this week, is just some hashtag Brian O'Driscoll facts. I reckon we should do those on Twitter, because the guy has had an unbelievable career. His name will go down in history.
Bod facts.
Mm. So hashtag Bod facts. That's a bit catchy, actually, Jay. Well done.
Thanks.
But do the BOD capital.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people will just go hashtag Bod facts. You have 140 something bones in the body. Won't quite be as clear. So, yeah. For example, Barb Wire wants a tattoo of Brian O'Driscoll. Hashtag Bod fact. Or Brian O'Driscoll can braid a bald head. Hashtag Bod fact. The sun gets its energy from Brian O'Driscoll. Hashtag Bod fact. You get the idea. So just a little something to rumble away on Twitter this week in the build-up to his final game. Or what he says is his final game in Paris. Prediction then, where you think it's going to pan out, Phil?
I think England will win. I think Wales will win. And then I think Ireland will win by maybe 5 points.
Wales to win.
Listen to how little JB cares now. Wales aren't in it.
Wales to win. England to win comfortably. And this is a really difficult one.
While you're deciding, Brian O'Driscoll's electric razor is a belt sander. Hashtag Bod fact.
Everything would say Ireland by 10. But I don't know. I'm going to say Ireland to win, but I'm not confident. What this podcast has taught me is I know nothing about rugby. I said France would win within Six Nations, and that's about the only thing which might come true. And I don't feel good about that.
Yeah, I said they win it, it's not the way we envisaged it at the start of
that's
the tournament.
That's not what I was saying. I've said Freddie Burns would be the best fly half in England. I've said Exeter will win the Aviva.
You said Gloucester are about to explode four or five times this season.
I'm not good at this.
Brian O'Driscoll brews tea in his mouth. Hashtag Bod fact.
Very good. Ireland's win, but I don't know by how much.
I think Wales win, England win, Ireland win. I think it'll be very close in Paris because I don't think anyone goes to Paris and really...
The place will be rocking, though.
It will be. It's going to be tight. It's going to be exciting, but I think we're all agreed pretty much on our predictions. Jesus once saw Brian O'Driscoll in his tortilla. Hashtag Bod fact. Sorry. keep them going on Twitter. Keep your suggestions for our amazing Name 15 as well. Tell us what you think is going to happen this weekend. Give us some ideas for what we can do on future podcasts and keep getting in touch. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for your comments on iTunes as well. There is a bit of music to play us out, a bit of Rugby Oki, which has come straight from Ulster Rugby themselves. This is a song from Ulster Rugby called Stand Up for the Ulstermen, performed by the Ulster Orchestra, and it's something which they're trying to get the club to have as their pre-game tune. So let's have a little blast of this. Well, that was RFX, The Voice.
Is it?
The one who won The Voice last year.
Oh, yeah. My God, did anyone see how hot the England singer was?
She's going out with, do you know?
No.
Chris Robshaw.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Long-term other half Chris Robshaw.
That's how she's got the gig.
Yeah. Well, that she's smoking
nepotism.
Hot.
I think she got the gig and then he met her. I think that's how they met. Yeah. Mm. Do you reckon that will have gone through his mind at any point? He'll have run out onto the turf whenever she did it and he first saw her. Would it have crossed his mind at any point? Bang tidy. Oh, sorry, I'm going to be concentrating on high-level international rugby here.
Yeah, I was going to say something very silly then. I'm not going to say it. Catherine Jenkins go out with a rugby player?
She went out with Mike Phillips? Gethin Jones.
The one who did Blue Peter.
Gethin Jones, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a Mike Phillips thing.
Let's just
think about this. South Walian female in Mike Phillips' age range, which is
between
16 to 66. The chances are stacked in her favour.
Yeah.
I'm sure something will have happened.
Beautiful.
I did spot the that singer because we're now following her on Twitter.
Oh, really? Wow. I wonder if she wants to come in the studio for a visit.
Well, you know what we're going to be doing for the next half hour after this podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next podcast.
Bye.
Cheers, Tim.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.